This is Wisconsin Public Radio on NPR One.
Protests against police brutality are on their third week in Wisconsin, but when they first started, schools across the state were still in session. Madeline Fox reports on how some teachers in areas with the largest and longest running protests talk to their students about the historic moment.
Keeping students engaged with virtual learning was a challenge. Even for those who had a device, an internet connection, and the time and space to work on classes, there's a lot more going on around them that can make school seem like a low priority. So when protests over the death of George Floyd started in Milwaukee at the end of May, 7th grade social studies teacher Joe Menting looked at them as a way to meet kids where they are.
Unfortunately, at home, they aren't really participating like they were in the classroom. So anything that they can see on their own, I try to put the lesson behind that, because at this point, the only way we're going to get them to engage is if it's something that they're truly interested in.
They'd been talking about current events throughout the school year, so it made sense to bring up the protests on their virtual conversation about the news at the start of every class. From there, he steered them towards some of the historical context.
Introducing them to Velar Phillips and other James Grappi and their marches in Milwaukee in 1967.
Phillips, who broke race and gender barriers in local and state politics, led 200 days of protests with Father James Grappi through March 1968 to advocate for open housing. Some of the students had a lot to say, like Rondell Ward Jr., one of Menting's 7th graders.
What got me started on this is seeing all of my culture getting hurt, brutally beaten, killed even over our skin tone. And I thought it was really wrong because we didn't choose to have this.
Ward has been doing a lot of his own research, as well as school assignments. The biggest thing he's noticed is how little has changed despite so many years of protests and outcry.
We had another assignment seeing the old side of Milwaukee and all the protests back then and what was happening, but it hasn't changed. It's still very much the same, but the difference is one is in black and white and one is in color.
Menting students get to put together a passion project presentation on something they feel strongly about. Ward did one on police brutality, and he'd like to get out and participate in history himself, too.
I haven't personally been to any protest because it's been very, very crazy, but I would love to be there and love to show my support over the whole movement.
That's what some older students have been doing. 17-year-old Shanice Knox, a new graduate of Greendale High School, participated in a march at the Islamic Society of Milwaukee that was itself planned by two teenage girls. That was her second protest, and she was just getting warmed up.
I'm hosting one in Greendale. That is at Greendale, this coming up Friday, at the Greendale High School, and we're going to march up to Village Hall and back.
Teachers are also talking about the protests and their context with younger students. Elizabeth O'Leary is a special education teacher for second graders at Madison's Frank Alice Elementary. She says when they started talking to students about the protests, it helped to have already gotten the ball rolling about civil rights and racism during February's Black Lives Matter Week of Action and with history lessons throughout the year.
So we had like an ode to Angela Davis. So our whole door was covered. One day we talked about queer affirming Black lives. And the next day we talked about Black families and communities.
But O'Leary is aware there's a pretty big gap in one area. 2% of Wisconsin teachers are Black or Latino, compared to 16% of students. And that gap is even wider in majority non-white districts like Milwaukee. That means white instructors are often talking about racism with students who have far more lived experience with it than they do.
I've been doing more listening because that's what's important. We need to lift our Black voices, and then I need to be standing next to them or behind them, supporting them in any way that I can.
Formal lessons have come to a close, but teachers and students are still watching and in some cases participating in the protests. And they're thinking ahead to what the world might look like in the fall and how to talk about it. Madeline Fox, Wisconsin Public Radio.